As our regular listeners know, we've been taking a trip down memory lane this past month, re-releasing some of our favorite fan shows, episodes that's generated a lot of feedback. Mary, what's the classic episode we have on tap for today?
Well, today, Chris, we're going to go back in the time machine to season one, episode 19, and that episode is called Promotion Motion, which is all about how to get promoted. I don't know if you know this, but it was our most popular episode of season one and our third most popular episode of all time.
Wow. And I love this episode, by the way. So without further ado, let's dive into Promotion Motion.
Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and let me introduce my co-hosts, starting with G's, the gracious, the gifted, and the gregarious, Mary Abajay.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Chris DeSantis. All right, so are you ready for your G's?
I think so.
So, everybody, my name is Mary, and it is my honor to introduce you to the gallant, the glorious, the glittery, and the groovy Chris DeSantis.
I love that groovy.
I had gregarious, but I was afraid you were going to use that on me, so I had to like come up with something different.
I love really fast. I'm just a groovy. That's such a great word.
I know. Well, because you're a 70s baby like me.
You know,
in
baby.
Many ways.
You know,
baby. You used to have that fringe jacket.
I had a fringe jacket, bell bottoms,
and the platform shoes.
Platforms. I was a badass dude.
Well, Chris, it's great to see you today, and we are going to talk about something that I think should be hopefully very helpful to listeners, and something I think will be fun for us to answer because, well, quite frankly, we're know-it-alls. So we're going to talk about how to get promoted.
Yay!
Promotion motion, as you said.
Promotion in motion.
There you go. I like that. So we're going to talk about how to get promoted, and I have three questions from our amazing listeners from all around the world who want to get promoted and they want to know how to crack the code. So before we jump in on this, I wanted to talk a little bit about different kinds of promotions. So I think a lot of times people think getting promoted is just moving on up. But really, there's a lot of different ways to get promoted, right? You could get promoted by moving into management. You could get promoted by getting more money, a different title, more responsibilities. You can get promoted by moving sideways in some sense. You can get promoted internally. You can move externally in your organization to get promoted. Like, there's so many ways to think about promotions. And so how do you think about promotions?
Well, I'm in more the classic sense is that if I'm moving from one level to the next, so if I'm now with a different rung in terms of the people I'm dealing with, more management responsibilities. So I think in those terms, I like that the way you've broadened it though, because you can promote yourself in so many different capacities. I remember back in the 70s, it went out of vogue for a while. Maybe it's coming back they just keep giving people more and more elaborate titles. Do you remember that? It was a title promotion. And they didn't give you much.
How about junior fantastic lead executive assistant?
Exactly. I don't think they do that anymore. But I thought that was a very funny thing because the cards kept getting more and more robust.
Yeah. But, you know, I think sometimes like that's what people do want, especially young people, because sometimes titles can matter. Yes. And if you can't give people if there's no leadership place to go to, then give them a bigger title. Project manager instead of project associate. I did that for one of my people on my team. I gave her more money, but I said, okay, let's make you project manager. She was so excited.
Well, I remember going to a client site early on in my doing this, and we're going to introduce you to the vice president. And I thought, oh, great, I'm at the vice president. Turns out everyone in the office was a vice president.
And you know who's really bad about that? Like banks and stuff. They have so many vice presidents. And I was talking to someone and they were saying, oh, you know, my so-and-so is now vice president of wealth management at so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, them and 12,000 of their best friends. Like, I'm not that impressed, but whatever. So we're going to talk. I mean, I was impressed. I'm impressed by anybody who is happy and successful in what they do. All right. So, Chris, a couple of the questions that we're going to be faced with today are about people that didn't ever get promoted or can't get promoted. And mm-hmm. so my first question to you is, have you ever been passed over by a promotion?
Well, that's, you know, it's hard to know because you don't always know that you have been passed over. So yeah. I would assume I have been. I have, because I've worked inside three different companies for a number of years, and I'd have to believe in two of the larger ones, there would have been opportunities that were not presented to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's a guess.
Yeah.
Because they don't say, oh, Chris, you lost the promotion, because that's not what you hope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I some people were moving around me.
I love that. Yeah. So I think.
What about
I,
you? Do you do?
Now, please, would you pass over me for a promotion?
No.
Hell no. No, I have. Once or twice I have. And, you know, it was a hard pill to swallow. And I think back on that and I'm like, I find that a learning opportunity. So before we get to the first question, what's one thing that you think people get wrong in seeking promotions?
Well, I think, and this is maybe gender-based, and I'm sure you can elaborate, but I think one thing is that the work speaks for itself is sufficient to getting a promotion.
Yeah. The myth of meritocracy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. And we think we had a show that talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. But and I think it has a lot to do with that I'm really doing good work here. Everyone should notice that. I also think there's the other side of that. That you're the best thing since sliced bread and that you are just also great and wonderful that you're obnoxious.
And you're obnoxious. You don't see your blind spots.
Yes.
I love it. And that might be, I think both of those might be at play here in our first question.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you are ready.
I am ready.
All right. Let's giddy on up. Dear Mary and Chris, help. I work hard. I do my job. I've told my boss that I want to move up in the organization, but I can't seem to crack the promotion code. My boss isn't advocating for me. What do I need to do to get to the next level? Need your help in Hawaii.
Well,
first of all, I think they should just fly us out there.
Yes, I'm happy to talk to you face-to-face on this.
Face-to-face. All right, what do you want to tell Hawaii?
Well, okay, first off, it's a bit of a vague question.
Yeah,
here's what we
is.
Know. You have a job, and there are jobs above you you'd like to have, and your boss knows this. Okay, so far, so good. Now, next question. Are you qualified for the next level? I'll assume that you are, right? A couple things.
That's first a generous off, assumption, by the way.
Well, let's just go. You're writing in, you want it, you crave it, so okay, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. So you should already my advice, you should already be taking work off your boss's plate. Since you're interested in moving up, you should be doing the work the next level up. So ask what work she or he can delegate to you now. Now, not knowing anything about your company, I think I would also, and Mary has alluded to this once before, go to HR and say, how do they manage promotions here? How do they, or careers, or job postings or openings? So, and what criteria, if any, do they evaluate in this process, if there even in fact is a process? If there is, you need to know what that is. So that's another one. Again, ask around. Find out who's been promoted. Look, you're not alone there. Determine if do they grow people organically? That means that we build our management cadre from the ground up, or do they tend to bring people in and in terms of lateral transfers? Because that'll get in the way. It'll impact your opportunities. Another one, how's the company doing? If it's doing well, then they have the money to afford the overhead, which would be a promotion. If it's not doing well, then it's less likely to go in your favor. And look at turnover. How's turnover? Do people stay? Do they go? Okay. But last but not least, and I'll say this and I'll turn it to Mary, keep a positive outlook. Look, you may not get the promotion now, but there may not be an opening yet, or maybe that you're not quite prepared yet, but the point of this is being assertive enough, do your homework, and it puts you closer to the front of the line. So, yeah. Mary, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, those are all like classic strategies, and they're classic because they work and they're right. And so many people just forget the basics. Really, I mean, you got to find out what it takes to be promotable. And then you've got to take a good hard look at, are you that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the opportunities? What do they want from the people and those opportunities?
Right.
So I completely agree. You've got to get really specific about what you need to do to get promoted. I also think that you want to really figure out what why do you want to be promoted?
Oh, good one.
What is it you're trying to accomplish? You know, are you just trying to get a title? Or are you just trying to get more money? Do you just want to be the boss or be bossy? I know I like to be bossy, but like get clear with yourself around what it is you are trying to get in that promotion. Is it more money, more responsibility, different responsibility, leadership? Because that's going to help you really determine which opportunities are going to be best for you to sort of craft your experience around. Because as Chris alluded to or said directly, or maybe you alluded to in the question, is that you don't know what it takes to crack the code. Well, in order to find out, you're going to need to be really clear about what it is that you want to do and where your gaps are. So this also means that you're going to probably have to do a little shameless self-promotion, which means you're going to have to listen back to our episode called Shameless Self-Promotion. Because if you're waiting for your boss to advocate for you, then you might be waiting for a really long time. You also want to manage your career by managing your own advocacy, which means going the extra mile, volunteering for things, getting to know other people in the organization, really taking that extra effort to figure out what it is that can make you stand out. Part of this question, and I don't know this is true, but part of this question felt to me like what you said in the beginning, like just waiting to be noticed. I do good work and so it should happen. And that's just not the way that life works. Like you're going to really need, I think, to put a little extra effort. And I do think it'd be really helpful to get a little feedback, both from your boss and for your colleagues. So let's say you want to become a team lead. Well, get some feedback from your colleagues about how they experience you and what they think are their strengths and your quote unquote weaknesses around that kind of role, and really listen to that feedback and see what you can do to kind of close that gap. So I think you got to get out ahead of this. You've got to stop waiting for your boss to advocate for you and start doing your own advocating.
I love that.
Yeah.
No, that's very clear. I think we've wrapped this puppy up, as it were.
Yeah.
And put a bow on it.
Do you think this is a generational thing, or do you think people at all levels in their career fall under this sort of like, I don't know how to get to the next level?
Well, no, I think you get onto the game eventually. So my theory is it's probably more prevalent in the entry levels, and then it recurs later in the more senior levels.
Yeah.
You see, that's where it becomes much more political.
Interesting.
So at the most senior levels, it's the politics of this more than all, because the performance is pretty much established by that. You know, you've got a track record. So who among the anointed will be chosen? So
that is interesting. And in that case, it becomes much more complex, is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. Because then you have to do all the things we've just said again. Okay. Who at the zoo? What are they looking for? Because they're not looking for things on paper anymore.
Right. They're kind of looking for that sort of indefinable quality.
Exactly. And more than likely, it's the whims of the person you're working for, not the metrics attached to you.
Interesting. And I think that's going to play into our next question a little bit, even though it's not a senior person, because we're going to hear from Confused in Connecticut, who is disappointed about not getting a promotion. And I can imagine the higher you go, the harder it is to lose those promotions, because then you have your whole status thing that's being
right
that you've got to navigate.
Hey, guys, if you have a workplace problem or a dilemma and you need an answer, write us a question at Cubicle Confidential. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, are you ready for the next question?
Yes.
All right. Dear Cubicle Confidential, I was just passed over for a promotion. I'm so disappointed. They gave the promotion to someone who has a year less experience than me. I met with my boss, who was one of the decision makers, and he said that the committee thought I, quote, needed more experience, unquote. I don't understand, since the person who got the job has less experience than me. What the what? They didn't actually say that. They said our favorite word. What the what? How do I prove myself, or how do I get more experience? How do I get them to see my value and my potential? Confused in Connecticut. Chris DeSantis, what do you have to say to Confused?
Well, not only Confused, probably a little angry too, yeah. If I would guess at that, right?
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like it.
Confused. I'm as confused as you are. See, if what you're saying is true and you've had more time on the job than the other person, then the experience issue, if it isn't smoke and mirrors, is a question of types of experience you need. So that's where I start. I think you need to speak with your boss about this. Ask for a sit down so that you can understand not why you didn't get the promotion, because that's just going to put him on the defensive. Rather, going forward, what do you need in terms of specific experiences to be a candidate? You see, that puts a, when we go into the future, people are willing to give you feedback. When we delve into the past, people get defensive. So frankly, there's something off about all of this, right? It seems a bit off because, I'm inferring from your question that you are both at the same level doing the same job, except you've been doing it longer. So that's confusing. If it is an experience issue, your boss should have said where you needed more of it. His response was one of attempting to placate you, really, right? And not explaining exactly what you need to be able to do to advance. In fact, he even put it on the committee. It wasn't me. It was the committee, right? Now, it could be a performance issue. You might be either too good to promote. Did you ever think of that? Like, I can't let you go. Or you might not be displaying management potential, and he doesn't want to say that to you. So, because this is a balancing act for your boss. On the one hand, a boss can't guarantee you a promotion because businesses have ups and downs and there's other factors and other players involved. And on the other, not telling you anything leaves you this sort of utterly ambiguous situation, runs the risk of you looking for greener pastures. So I guess I would err on the side of being honest, quite frankly, if I were your boss in this and in your situation, honest, and tell them this is how you feel about it. I'd like to learn more about what I need to do differently. I think your boss owes you a bit more clarity, meaning, if you're not somebody I should ever think of giving a promotion to, which is not what your letter tells me, then in fact, you are owed more information.
Yeah. Chris, I think that is so true. Like, this person does not have enough information.
No.
So, I mean, I agree with you. Your first step is to go back to your boss. And if your boss isn't there, if your boss isn't willing to like get granular with you, then go find someone on the committee and approach that conversation like, hey, yeah, of course I'm disappointed I didn't get it. And I really am invested in this company. I really want to grow. What's one, two, or three things that I could do more of, less of, differently in order to really grow for the next? I agree. This person needs more information. I also think that this person, I like what you said about the experience, just because the other person has been in the job the same length of time as you have doesn't mean that they have less experience, because we don't know what the other person did or how well they did it. They could be higher performers than you. And if this job was in management, as you talked about, maybe you've got some blind spots around like how you're showing up or how other people experience you, or whether or not the organization sees you as someone that's in that role. Again, which goes back to Chris's first point, you don't have enough data and you need to get it. And you also need to be willing to look at your blind spots to understand like why they're not seeing you on this. So a couple other ideas for you are: take a good look at who you are and how you're showing up. Learn how to be indispensable, which means you may have to go the extra mile. Like, that other person might have been working weekends or working extra hours or volunteering on other projects. So really take a good hard look at what you are doing. As Chris said earlier, you're going to have to really be adding value to the company. So look at the bottom line. Like, how are you adding value to the bottom line? Are there different projects that you could do? Be entrepreneurial. Create something new that is going to really add value to the company. You might want to consider some internal mobility in terms of maybe you move out of this chain of command into something else. So look around the organization for maybe you do a lateral move before you do this move. So maybe you're not in the right place. But I think it's really around taking as much initiative as you can, both in terms of what you're missing and what you can add to do things. Don't wait to be told. Find some way to add more value. Find opportunities to lead. That might be leaving that department. That might be networking more. But for some reason, people aren't seeing you as a leader. They're not seeing you in that next level place. So you've got to figure out what that gap is and close it.
I think that's all very sound advice. I also think you're offering her hope. The image that came to mind is be electric, because electricity finds it's the path of least resistance forward.
I love that you assumed it was a woman. I assumed it was a man.
Oh, did you?
I did. It's really funny. Yeah, I did. I don't know why. I find that a lot in these questions. Like, I assume one gender and you assume another, which I think is hilarious.
I don't know why I do that either. Maybe it's the way, I don't know.
It's one of these things.
Yeah, we should look back on that.
We should think back on that. Chris, let me ask you about one more thing about this person. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this person should stay and keep looking in this organization, or is this an opportunity for them to go out?
Oh, no, I think this is way too early to think about going out. We're only dealing with one boss and one situation with the vagaries of the committee decision. Yeah. And so, I do a lot of work with consulting firms. This is not unnatural. The consulting firms, what they do is they have to pick among a lot of people who are very qualified but you have so many slots to go forward.
Yeah.
So the reality is find out who's on the committee, because there are certain people on the committee that have more clout than others.
Yeah.
So play that card too.
That's true. And you know, the other thing that we didn't talk about, but it could also be an example of them just not interviewing well.
Yeah.
And exactly. So maybe they need to go back to listen to our interview show, but like maybe they're just not presenting themselves in an interview well enough to talk about their experience, to craft the story about themselves. So that's another thing I think that this person should think about. It's not just, you know, your experience doesn't speak for itself. You have to speak to it.
Yes, I'm with you.
And we all know like group interviews are really hard.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever interview a person as a group. You should interview should interview them each individually.
Yeah. No, I agree, but a lot of companies like that group interview. I always say to people, if you're the interviewee in a group interview, so because people always ask me, like, who do I look at? So I would throw this to you and you tell me if you agree or disagree. So let's say I'm in a group interview and let's say you ask the question. So when you ask the question, I'm going to start answering the question by making eye contact with you, looking at you, and then I'm going to look around and make sure that throughout my question, I am looking at everybody else, and then I'm going to end my answer by looking at you again. What do you think of that? I kind of made that up. Would you say that would work?
No, I think that's sound advice, because the questioner expects you to respond to them. So the expectation is already set. But the others don't want to be excluded. And so they're listeners in the exchange. And so they should be acknowledged, but returning to the questioner confirms, did I answer this?
I love it. Yeah, when I say something that you agree with. Thank you, my friend. Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying Cubicle Confidential, then why don't you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to? We'd really appreciate it, as we're trying to bring Cubicle Confidential to everybody. All right. So we've got a third question today. Yay. All right. And this one, again, we're international. This one is from Torn in Toronto.
Toronto.
One of my favorite cities.
I love Toronto.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm going to be there this spring.
Oh, really? I love
that.
So
excited. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm going to be in Chicago in January.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we'll go out to dinner.
Yeah. And drinks. Drinks. All right. Sorry, listeners. Chris and I love each other. Never get to see each other. Dear Cubicle Confidential, I work for a small team in a large organization. I want to move up, don't we all? I've gone as far as I can in my team. The only current way up is my boss's job, and they aren't leaving anytime soon. Plus, I really like my boss, so I'm a little scared to consider a change that means I will end up with a different boss, and then, of course, must relearn working with a new person. Any recommendations on how to meet my career goals and not feel regret for changing leaders?
Well, that's a good question, Torn in Toronto. Yes.
I can see why this person is torn.
Yeah, I can appreciate what she's feeling or he's feeling. What do you think? She or he?
You know what? I'm going to go she.
Okay, let's go with she.
Okay, let's go with she. All right, what do you think for her?
So anyway, I can appreciate what she's feeling. She works for a good person. She knows what she's doing, and I suspect she's part of a small team, and she probably likes her colleagues. So it's a nice place to be. Now, your concern is if you leave this all behind, things can go south, right? You're having your doubts about leaving. It's a completely natural feeling. You're in a good space. Why risk it, right? Well, that's wrong, right? If you're staying where you are and simply continuing what you're doing, have been doing, unless it's a position designed for not changing, then you'll eventually put yourself at risk. You're stepping backward. Being complacent isn't the answer. If it were the answer, you would have never left home, you would have never gone to school, and you would have never gotten a job in the first place. So my sense, you're just preparing yourself for the leap forward. And there's an author named William Bridges. He wrote a book called Transitions, and it deals with this kind of change, right? And he sees change first as an ending. You see, what you need to do first is get closure on where you are. Come to grips with the fact that this was a good experience. I did learn from this experience. And then transitions is where you start figuring out what you'll be next, what that's going to look like. And this, then after you get in that job for a while, you're going to get into the beginning, because the beginning is really about getting through this bumpy period. So once you get this closure and the transitions, you won't do better right away. You're in a learning curve. You're going to have the valley of despair. You were brilliant in the old job, and now you're messy in the new job. And you're going to be a bit lonely because you had friends in the other one, and these guys, I don't know them very well. Okay, that's okay. That's what the new friends is all about. You'll make new friends. You'll make mistakes, and you'll make, and this is natural, but eventually you'll get the hang of it. It becomes your habit, and then you'll begin to become the leader that you're striving to be. So moving into the unknown is always fraught with some anxiety, but it's also very exciting. So move away from anxious and move into excitement. Focus on what's exciting about this and realize that this too is a process that will repeat itself each time you make a leap. So master the process of change, and the next leap will be further still. Anyway, what do you think, Mary?
I think that's a mic drop. I think that was so well said. I think it was absolutely 100% correct. If you're looking for a new job, you're looking for change. And sometimes that change means losing things that you were really good at and that you love, and opening yourself up to things that you don't know, the uncertainty of it all. And I love that you brought in Bridges' transition work. I think that's absolutely right. What did you call it? The Valley of Despair.
The Valley of Despair.
I've been in that valley many times, and I have plenty of roadmaps that some of them work and some of them don't to get out of the valley. But I love that. So I think what you said is 1% correct. And I would just add a couple of things. I do think that if you are trying to meet your career goals, you are going to have to move. So I'd want you to give yourself permission, Torn in Toronto, to leave this great boss. Because for you, small team, large organization, you're either going to have to move out of that team, that line of chain of command, or this might be the perfect case for external mobility. If you really can't craft anything more that's a promotion within this organization or within this team, you are going to have to start looking either outside the organization or outside this team. And don't worry so much about, you know, your boss being sad, because you know what? Your boss will be sad when you leave. And we talked about this in another podcast. We talked about quitting. But no boss is going to love leaving having a good person leave them. It, as a boss, I'm here to tell you, nothing makes me sadder than leaving someone who's really good and someone I like. So you'll just have to come to terms with that. And yes, as Chris said, leaving something that you know and love, there's always sadness. And yes, there's always a risk. You may go into this next job and hate it. You may change organizations and hate it. But you don't grow by staying where you are. You don't grow by not doing anything new. So pull up your big girl or big boy pants, say yes to your career goals, and go ahead and make the move. And as Chris says, like, you will get through the valley of despair. There is light at the other end of that tunnel. Chris, any other thing you want to say before we close up about getting promotion, getting promoted?
No, I think if anyone who's interested in it, they should pursue it, but they should be qualified to do it.
Yeah, qualified to do it and to know what it is you want out of it. Hey, Chris and I both work with a lot of organizations that promote people who are not qualified, or they are not qualified to be good leaders or managers. So I will say, for those of you who are trying to move up the career ladder, and if part of that ladder is being a good boss or being a manager, your technical skills are not what's going to make you a good boss or a good manager or a good supervisor. It's your people skills. Am I right, Chris DeSantis? Can I get an amen?
Amen, Mary Abijay.
All right. right. Well, I think we've made some fine progress here today. So it is time for us to sign off on this podcast. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening. Without you, we're nothing. Well, we would just be two people talking to each other. A huge thanks to our amazing, overworked, underpaid executive producer, Mr. Jack Ettinger. If you have a workplace question or a cubicle dilemma, let us know. No question is too thorny. No question is too simple. And there are lots of ways that you can reach us. You can email us to info@cubicleconfidential.com. You can tweet us to cubicleconfide1 or connect with us on LinkedIn, either Cubicle Confidential or Chris DeSantis or Mary Abajay. We're everywhere. We're easy to find. So until next week, work hard, be kind, go get that promotion. And if you can't, call us. Jack, where's that music?